from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All over the sanctuary, you have God's Word with you, whether in printed or digital format. Would you hold your Bibles up in the air all over the sanctuary? Amen. Please find your way to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107, verse 22. If you're using a pew Bible and visiting with us today, please turn to page 942 in the pew Bible. Psalm 107 and verse 22. Now, I'd like to share something with you folks. Is that as we came in this morning, you may have noticed that there were no drums up here, and we have not gotten rid of the drums. But what we have discovered is that the shape of this wall and this section back here is designed exactly as a megaphone. And so this is not anything to do with the quality of our drummers, both Andrew and brother and DJ and whoever plays drums for us. It's the volume of the sound in this sanctuary. And so Pastor Ivan has gotten the way that we're going to fix that, but we didn't want a bunch of construction going up here this week, and we're going to get that taken care of. But I would like everybody right now to turn around and take a look back there by the door. Those guys that hate it when I do this, we have a brand new sound booth back there. How about that? And those guys worked Friday, and then they worked last night until after midnight to do this for God's glory in His house. Amen. What a wonderful thing. Give God praise for them. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's the Thanksgiving season. Amen. And I may have given allusions to the fact that I might have overeaten a little bit this Thanksgiving. So I wanted to clear that up. There are no allusions to it. I overate on Thanksgiving. But during the Thanksgiving season, would it be safe to say that we are unhappy with the traveling situation when we need to go somewhere? Amen? Do we carp a little bit about the traffic? Do we whine about the distance? Do we get impatient with any little barriers that are in front of us? But you know what? It can be worth it to see friends and family, plus the food when you come together with folks. Just a wonderful time. But did you know that the pilgrims came here to this country to flee religious persecution? It took them 3 months on a little boat bouncing around in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean to get here. When they landed, the first winter, half of them died. And what did they do at the end of that year that they were first here? They set aside a day of thanksgiving with prayer and fasting. The last time I checked, and I'm checking my own actions on this Thursday, I devoted myself to prayer, but there was no fasting. Near as I can remember, my Thanksgiving was a day of gluttony and football. Amen. But you know, as we look at that, we come today giving thanks to God for the many blessings in our life. Amen. Reading from the Word of God, if you're there in your Bibles, please say amen. Amen. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this day to be in Your house. Forgive the teacher his sins, for they are many. Let his lips speak Your words and Your words alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, while we were waiting for a microphone to get fixed, we made note of things that we were thankful for this morning. You know, I can't imagine anything more unsightly than someone that is ungrateful or unthankful for the things that have been given them. Shakespeare said, "I hate ingratitude more than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, and any type of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail lives." You see, friends, I believe that if you are ungrateful, then anything else about you, no matter how bad it might be, doesn't look nearly as bad as your ungratefulness. Ungratefulness is simply an unsightly thing. And friends, our great God has been so good to Emmanuel Baptist Church. Amen? Amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Hallelujah. And this morning we should be grateful and thankful for what God has done for us. I know for those folks that came from Coral Springs in the merger. We are so thankful to be able to come and have a parking lot. And you know, we were actually on the road for 14 years in 9 different locations. Some of the worst locations you could possibly imagine. And so we prayed, Lord, give us just a small place we could call our own so we can meet day by day. And we could do ministry. We never prayed about distance. Isn't the Lord awesome? You know, and some folks said, well, how was it that you were able to get the folks from Coral Springs to agree to come here and travel here? I said, well, it's simple. I told them 2 things. First, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, nobody asked, how far is it to the promised land? And second, I asked them this, simply to think in this way. Are you willing to drive as far to worship God as you drive to work every day? And obviously we are. And so we are here, and it's such a blessing to be here. And today we're going to look at 5 biblical ways, 5 biblical truths that God links our relationship to Him by sacrificial thanksgiving. In other words, showing sacrificially that we are grateful to God. There's going to be a whole lot of scripture on our screens today. This is one of those messages. Simply be ready to write them down in the margins. Now, in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals, and they sacrificed fruit, and they sacrificed grain. We don't do that in New Testament days, in the church age, but the Bible does teach that we are to offer spiritual sacrifices. If you will look up on the screen, you'll see 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, and it says, if indeed that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Emmanuel Baptist Church, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through who, church? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And today, if you'll just take note of today's 5 points, then take those points and from this day forward, offer them to the Lord, then I believe you will fulfill God's command that we found here in today's passage in Psalm 107, verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. God's house is to be a place of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen, friends, I have 5 points here today, and I want you to mark them down. I've done most of the writing for you. You just have to write 1 word per line. Hallelujah. So our first point today, I show I am thankful by the sacrifice of my person. The sacrifice of my person. And that's right, to all of today's points will be a P. And there's one of them I'll apologize for in advance, but I desperately needed another word leading with P. So sacrifice of my person. One of the best ways to show the Lord that we love Him is to give our body to Him. If you look up on the screen, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Who is Paul talking to there? I beseech you, brethren. He's talking to the church in Rome. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, that is telling us to live as Christians. Verse 2 in chapter 12 of Romans tells us that the only way that we can do that is as with a renewing of our mind through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, what are the mercies of God? Well, the basis of Paul's plea is that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for us. Therefore, We are not our own. You have been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. So it's reasonable that if Jesus Christ gave His body for us, that we should give our bodies back to Jesus. And I don't want any of the snide comments out there, well, Pastor Larry, you got more of a sacrificial giving than I have. But we should give sacrificially back to the Lord. I'm meddling, I'm going to move along. Which for some reason, we resist. For some reason, we resist that. How so? Well, I'm so glad you asked. You know, I have in my life, a life of ministry, given everything to the Lord. You know, there came a point where that switch came on. And I was sharing with Miss Aline out in the foyer. When that light came on in me to serve God, there's nothing that can stop me or get me to shut up about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just so grateful. But I found over time that I tend to take back what those things I've given to the Lord if I'm not careful. I don't do it actively. I don't do it purposely. I'm sure you don't as well. But I get busy in ministry and I grow weary in doing well for the Lord. My mind gets filled up or busy with the things of this world. And, you know, I don't even notice that it's happening. I don't notice how my lifestyle might be slipping a little bit. Sure, I go on with the same smile, the same handshake in church, the same spiritual phrases that we all love so well, the same songs in my heart. But not really. Because in the flesh, all of us, each of us, tend to take back from the Lord. Until eventually the Holy Spirit breaks in and says, excuse me, Larry, you're not as committed as you once were. You're not doing the things that you once were. You don't have that tingle in your heart for the things of God that you had. And you need to get yourself alone before the Lord. You need to get on your knees before the Father. You don't have that Holy Ghost tingle in your life anymore. And that may happen to you. You may be serving in Sunday school. And you've been serving in Sunday school for years, possibly. And you might feel in your heart, I need to go to the pastor today. Pastor, I don't feel that tingle in my heart anymore. I've been doing this so long, Father. Sometimes I wonder if anybody cares. Or the audio guys. You know, you ever notice that nobody during service ever looks back toward the audio guys thinking, what a wonderful job you're doing. What we do is we tend to turn around what? When something's going wrong up here. Amen? And so church, when that happens, listen, that happens. These guys worked till after midnight last night to get that new sound booth in. Hallelujah. I'm surprised we have sound this morning. Amen? They sent me pictures and I saw wires everywhere and it was hard to praise God for that. You guys are looking great. I was an encouragement to them. Amen. And so we have those days when we start feeling like that. But I'm so grateful that they have that tingle in their heart. They want to do things for God. They want to make this sanctuary just a better place to worship God. And so when we get back to the Lord, when we've lost that tingle, it begins with voluntarily presenting our bodies to the Lord, a living sacrifice. Now listen to me, it's voluntary. It's a voluntary act. God is not going to draft you. God is not going to force you. But if you make yourself available, God will use you. Amen. Hallelujah. And no one else can do that for you. No one can come and say, Miss Shirley, I believe the Lord has told me that you need to do this. And Miss Shirley goes, well, I talk to the Lord every day, and you don't sound anything like Him. Hallelujah. You see, you must voluntarily present your body as a living sacrifice. Well, how do you do that? Everything in your life must come after the Lord Jesus. Amen. Everything. You see, in my wife's life, the Lord Jesus comes first. And I come second, I hope. But that's a pretty good place to be, amen? In my life, my wife knows that God comes first. She comes second. That is a good place to be. Everything in your life must come after Jesus. It means saying, Lord Jesus, you are going to come before my wife. Lord Jesus, you are going to come before my children. Lord Jesus, you are going to come before my home, before my ambition, my education, my business, my pleasure, the things I enjoy doing. Lord Jesus, you are going to come before everything in my life. Lord, I am crucified to Christ. I'm crucified to you as a living sacrifice, completely and holding nothing back. Here am I, Lord. Use me. You see, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Wonderful, amazing, godly man. He was asked what the secret was to being greatly used by God. Booth brushed a tear out of his eyes after he had thought for a moment. He said, God has had all that there is of me. Everything that I am is the Lord's. There have been men with greater brains, greater opportunities than I. But from the day that I had a vision for what God could do in my city, London, I made up my mind that God would have all that there is of William Booth. You see, I want you to say that today in your life for Christ. Listen, there are many, many, many wonderful preachers out there. There are many, many men that can preach the gospel better than Pastor Larry Brister. And I praise God for that. But there's nobody that can preach a better gospel. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Born again is born again. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I love that song that we've been working in. You know, we missed Brother Cliff today, our praise team, praise band leader. But that song that we're singing, we're going to keep doing that until this house rocks with the joy of God's people. Amen. Because when I was saved, I ran out of that grave, figuratively speaking. Amen. And so did you, by the way. And so I thank God for that. Friends, that is the secret. Present your body a living sacrifice. Present your person a living sacrifice to God. All of it, holding nothing back. Our second point today. I show I am thankful by the sacrifice of my praise. The sacrifice of my praise. Now let me ask you guys something. I want you to look up here. Look up here now. Look at the instruments up here. Why is there all of these musical instruments that we use? Why the praise team? Why the musicians? The sound team? Why such an emphasis on praise? Why are there banners in the foyer that as you leave here say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Why are there all those other banners that talk about prayer and welcoming people and praise and thankfulness? Why? Because here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, we make it all about Jesus. Amen. All about Jesus. There is nothing that we do that does not have Jesus at the forefront of it. We know that Jesus Christ is the hero of the Bible. He is from the first page in the Bible to the last page in the Bible. If you read your Bibles and you don't see Jesus Christ lurking there somewhere in the shadows, you are not reading your Bibles correctly, my friends. This is all about Him. The Old Testament is all about someone is coming. The Gospels of Jesus Christ are all about someone is here. The Epistles are all about somebody came. And the book of Revelation is all about someone is coming back again someday to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm so glad about that, that we make it all about Jesus. If you look on the screen, you will see Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. It says, therefore by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We come to give thanks to God's great name. Friends, in a while, later on, we're going to continue our worship. Because listen to me, worship is about the singing. It's about the reading of the Word of God. It's about the teaching of the Word of God. It's about the giving of ourselves sacrificially. And it's about giving of our treasure. Amen? All right. Now, for those of you that are listening in, or you're here visiting for the first time, and you're saying, you know, every single time I go to church, that preacher talks, wherever I go, about money. Well, that's not true, but I want you to know today's one of those days. And I say that unapologetically, amen? But I want to share something with you real quick. Are you listening to me? Say amen.
Amen.
Your praise is more valuable to God than any money you may give Him this morning. Your praise is more valuable to God than any money you may give Him this morning. Listen to me. Our musicians praise God through their giftedness of their playing. Our drummer, Andrew, praises God through the playing of the drums. And he's a young man. And it's so difficult these days just being a good young person. Amen? And I'm so grateful that Miss Jamie, while we're getting the drums fixed this morning, allowed him to use the giftedness of his voice to continue to praise God. We're going to continue giving young people that kind of those possibilities. Now, your praise is more valuable to God than any money, but let me let the Baptist preacher slink back in here real quick. We are to give of our tithes, of course. Amen? We are to give. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto the Lord what is the Lord's. But watch this. If you look on the screen, Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31. It's not on there?
Yes.
It's there.
Yes.
There we go. Okay, I don't care what the clock says. But thank you. It started when it started. It's going to end when it ends. Amen? I feel like preaching today, guys. All right, listen. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God, what? With a song. And I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hooves. In other words, he's saying there, the praise that I give to the Lord is more valuable than these physical, worldly things that we can give. So listen closely. Your praise is worth more than your money, but it is not a substitute for the giving of your tithes and offerings. Praise is empty, empty, empty if you are unwilling to give of your treasure. God looks at the heart. Amen? Amen. Flip over in your Bible to Psalm 119, verse 108. 119, verse 108. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're there in a paper Bible, say amen. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. You see, you want to offer thanks to God, let it be with praise. And verse 108 in Psalm 119 says, it must be done with your free will. It must be done with your free will. One of the things that breaks my heart, listen to me, church. One of the things that breaks my heart, and I believe it breaks the heart of God, is that you have to plead with some people to praise Almighty God. You have to come up with ways that make it palatable to them to praise God. And for the Christian, I cannot imagine why that is. Why not praise Jesus who died for us? You know, when I remember what Christ has actually done for me, friends, I believe it is a sin before God to sit in a service like this and not praise God. We are so blessed. You know, when the song service is going on, you should sing. Make a joyful noise. I make a terrible noise, but it's joyful. If you don't want to hear me, sing louder. Hallelujah. Debbie and Tim, I'm so sorry you guys had to sit that close to me this morning, but it's okay. Listen, if you can't sing, you make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some people say, preacher, I don't have anything to praise God for. That is not true. That's straight from the pits of hell and smells like smoke. If you can breathe, if you can see, if you can do any of these things, you have reason to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All you need to do is open your Bible, open your eyes, and open your heart, and you'll have something to praise Almighty God for. You know, you can use your eyes and look out on your backyard, and you'll find beauty in your backyard. And you will praise God for that. You will look into the face of a child and you'll find beauty in the face of that child and praise God for that. You can open up the Word of God and read it and you'll find plenty to praise God about within His Word. Amen? And then when you pray and you think, I've run out of things to praise, to pray for. Pastor, I've run out of things to pray for. Just begin to praise God. And you'll have an ocean to swim in. Hallelujah. And let me say something else now, friends. Listen to me. Everybody look up here. This is important. I'm going to say something I want you to remember. This is one of those points I want you to take this home, just like last week. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. This is one of those things. You don't go to church to praise God. What did that preacher just say? You don't go to church to praise God. You are to bring your praise with you to church. Amen. You want to praise God only when you're here? You're to praise God wherever you are. Amen? Jeremiah 33:11 says to bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen. I praised God this morning when I was able to get up. Amen? You ever get up lately, and I'm not going to see any hands here, for all of those other people young like me, have you ever got this one morning and said, wow, that never hurt before? And by the way, what is that? Amen, hallelujah. But I bring my praise to church. So first, I show I am thankful by the sacrifice of my person. Second, I show I am thankful by the sacrifice of my praise. Now third, I show I am thankful, and we just touched on it a moment ago, by the sacrifice of my prayers. Sacrifice of my prayers. Flip over to Psalm 141, please. Psalm 141, verses 1 and 2, verse 2. Psalm 141, verse 2. Psalm 141, verse 2. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Did you get that? My prayers. The lifting of my hands. You know what? People lift their hands when they praise God in church. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It's biblical. All right. Now, I do say once in a while that, you know, we are Baptists. We can rejoice in the Lord. You can move your hips or your feet. Not both. Let us sink in for just a moment. Listen, God says that your prayer and the lifting of your hands to Him is like a sacrifice. It's a grateful, thankful sacrifice. It's like the incense that goes up before the Lord. A pleasing aroma is what the biblical phrase is. You know, if you went into the tabernacle of the Old Testament, as you walked into the tabernacle of the Old Testament, you would come into the courtyard. And as you walked into the courtyard, you would see the brazen altar, where the sacrifices, the bloody sacrifices were made. And as you walked into the tent area of the tabernacle, on one side would be the candelabra, which is Christ our sight. You know, that brazen altar, that was Christ our sacrifice. But the candelabra is Christ our sight. We look into the Lord. On the right would be the table of the showbread. Christ is the bread of life. He is our sustenance. Amen. And then as you continued on, right before the veil, dividing the Holy of Holies, before entering that, was a golden altar, the altar of incense. Christ, our supplication. Now I want you to listen very carefully. In order to get to the golden altar, with the incense and the prayers, in order to get to the golden altar, you had to come past the brazen altar, where the sacrifice was made, where the blood was shed. You see, the golden altar is where the incense is. And nobody could offer incense. Nobody could offer prayers unto the Lord until they had first come by the brazen altar, the place of sacrifice. If you look on the screen, you'll see Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Write that down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness to enter the presence of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, you saw that when God would appear, what would the people do? Run away. What did God tell Moses? You cannot see my glory and live. But these passages tell us that because of the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you receive Christ as Lord, and that is our only purpose for being here today, is that you would know Jesus Christ is Lord. You can now come boldly into the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you must come on the basis of the blood atonement made at the cross of Calvary. And by the way, may I tell you that brazen altar had fire in it. And that was the only fire that could be used to burn the incense inside the tabernacle. If you used anything else, it was unclean fire. It was strange fire. In other words, it was the fire that got dumb and dumber, known as Nadab and Abihu, killed in Leviticus chapter 10. Turned them into crispy critters, it did. But properly approached, see, I thought that would go over better. But properly approached, our prayers are a sweet perfume that goes up to God. Would you like to bless God this Thanksgiving season? Would you like to bless God the rest of your life? Then there's the sacrifice of your person. Here I am, Lord. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I'm all yours. There's a sacrifice of your praise. Continually praising your Lord in all ways. God, you are so great. Lord Jesus, I love you. Hallelujah. I praise your glorious name. Then there's that offer, that incense of prayer. And morning and evening, day by day, that sweet aroma of your prayers going up before the Lord. Did you know that when the child of God prays, don't miss this, church. When the child of God prays in the throne room of heaven, God stops. He inclines his head toward you and he listens to your prayers. He is an infinite, almighty God. Time means nothing to God. God could take your prayer, Miss Raffaella. God could take your prayer, Christopher, that you offer to him and think on that prayer and meditate on that prayer for a trillion years. And then yesterday, do it again. Let that sink in for a moment. God is mighty. God is holy. Amen? So now we come to our fourth point for today. I show that I am thankful by the sacrifice of my possessions. Uh-oh, here we go. Look on the screen for a moment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to what?
Share.
Now there's a word all the children love. And to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is pleased when we share. Did you know that you are to be a blessing to your community? You are to be a blessing to the world. You are to be a blessing to your family. You see, we are not to be a basin for receiving blessings from God. We are to be a pipe. The blessings from God flow down from heaven and flow into us. And just like a pipe, those blessings flow out of us and into our community and our family. We are to be a blessing to the world. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what? I've been coming out here on Sunday mornings. And I get here early and I've been picking up the trash. But here's what I want to do. Here's the ministry I want to start. I need somebody that's going to come out and be out here at 8 o'clock. And we're going to pay you for this. Just see me after service. And I want you to pick up the litter on the grounds. But listen to me, everybody watching, everybody looking, you guys on the online, don't be wandering away right now. We have houses around us in our community. I want to pick up the litter on their side of the street too. Because when people drive up and down these roads around the church business, what does that show? That if God's house looks great, that's a good thing. And everybody else's does not. You know, at least by the sidewalk we can pick up. Amen?
Amen.
And all God's people said?
Amen.
I thought I'd get a better testimony. I'm glad I brought my own today. That's all right, guys. Listen, to share means to give to those in need. It means to share of your services, your giftedness with the world. Now, you cannot purchase a blessing from God, but giving is an act of worship. Sacrificial giving, sacrificial service. It's tangible proof that you love God. Now this next 3 minutes is going to be a little uncomfortable, but stick with me because it gets much better. Amen? Never get up. And don't do it right now. Never get up and leave service after the sermon and before the offering. Never do that. Unless you're sick or there's some kind of emergency. Don't do that. And don't do it because you're ashamed that you have little or nothing to give. Don't do that. It doesn't matter if you have a penny in your pocket and you give that to the Lord. If that's all you have given everything to the Lord. If you are dead broke and the offering plate comes by, you take that offering plate and say, Lord, I bless you for what you're going to give me this week. I thank you for my life, Lord. And pass that offering plate on. See, we're not here to judge any of that. Listen, guys, it's not about that. It's about your willingness. It's about your heart. Don't be ashamed of what you have to give. That has nothing to do with it. And God's people in this house will tell you that. Amen? That has nothing to do about it. It is not about the amount. It is all about our heart. So come into the house of the Lord with an offering because you're thankful to the Lord. Teach your children if they get an allowance. If you give your children an allowance, teach them that a part of that goes to the Lord. That part of what we get goes to the Lord. That just as they sing and just as they pray, that giving is an act of praising God. Now listen to me. If you're visiting here today, your tithe goes to your church. Amen? We don't want you to take from your church. Your tithe goes to your church. If you want to bless us with an offering, that's fine. That's something different. But your tithe goes to your church. Now, the membership here that has known me the longest, some of you know me 20, 25 years, know that I never twist people's arms to give. It's something I simply don't do. And I very seldom give this type of a message. We don't browbeat people. We don't do that. Amen? But let me just say this one more time. What you do not willingly give, God neither wants nor needs. Look at the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly out of necessity, for God loves, finish it with me, church, a cheerful giver. When Ruth Ann and I prayed and discussed our giving for this week, frankly, we know we could have given more. Frankly, we know we could have given much less. But it's not about meeting the minimum. Amen? And it's not about giving out of compulsion. We prayed about it and we know that our giving this week and every week honors God. That's what your offering is to be. You are to honor God with that offering. You know, friends, be a sacrifice to the Lord. Don't give the Lord what is left over in your life. He's not a leftover God. Amen? Amen? He's the Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. So let me cheer you guys up now. Here's what I do know. Here's what I know for a fact. That God is blessing Emmanuel Baptist Church through your giving. Amen. You are a blessing to God. So keep up the good work. Keep up the good work. Now here's the last sacrifice. Not only my person, my praise, my prayers, and my possessions. Now, I show I am thankful by the sacrifice of my purity. The sacrifice of my purity. Live the pure life. Live purely before the Lord. If you look on the screen at Psalm 51 verse 17. Psalm 51 verse 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You see, when we pray, when we come before God the Father, He knows our heart, amen? He knows the things that are going on in our heart. Have you given to God your broken spirit? Say, Lord, I'm broken and I'm flawed, but I give this to you. Heal me, make me whole through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes there's some of us that sit in church a little proud, a little haughty. I worked on my vocabulary this week. I wanted to use that word. But absolutely unbroken before the Lord. How is it possible? Can we do that? When we look around and see a world that's marching straight into hell. How can we do that? When we see friends and neighbors in the community right outside our doors without Jesus Christ. It breaks the heart of God. And what breaks the heart of God should break our hearts. Amen? So may I ask, do the things that break the heart of Jesus break your heart? The Bible says it very clearly that the sacrifices of God are a broken and contrite spirit. So let that be true about our church. Let us serve our community with broken and contrite hearts. saying, Lord, this is all of us serving all of you. If you look on the screen at Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2, fantastic passages. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. Do we have that on the screen, please? No? Well, I'm going to turn over there then. There we go. They're back there plugging things back in, guys. It's a new sound booth. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. It's not about money. It's not about what your giftedness is. It's about having a broken and contrite spirit before the Lord. Church, is that you today? You see, to be that way, you need Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. That is the only way to go about this. And so, are you ready for Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life? In other words, would you offer yourself as a living sacrifice of praise? Even now, sitting here today, whether you're here in the sanctuary, or you're watching on the internet, or you're listening later on, would you say, Lord, I take my hands off of this very body that I have, and I give it to you, Lord. I recognize that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I give it to you for your service. Lord, out of my heart and from my lips, I will go give to you the sacrifice of praise. Lord, morning and evening, my sacrifice of prayer will be like an incense and it will go up before you. Lord, the sacrifice of my possessions, I give all that I have, all that I own to you. Lord, I thank you for letting me have these things, but these aren't what make me love you. They're not what make me love you, Lord. I give them to you. I thank you for giving me what I need, but everything that I have is yours to use for your glory and for your praise. And friends, last of all, would you offer yourself as a sacrifice of purity? Be pure before the Lord. Live a life with a contrite spirit. And the only way to do that is to come in repentance and confession and prayer before Almighty God. Just tell the Lord, Father, forgive my haughtiness. Forgive my willfulness. I offer to you this morning a broken spirit. I offer this morning to you, Lord, my heart. Grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you.